It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time.
Hey, welcome to Science Friction, the sci-fi comedy game show where comedians earn points for their opinions and how close those opinions are to my opinions. I'm your host, Stereos Kokonos. With me today, let's go around the horn. Introduce yourselves.
I'm Jeffrey Golden, and I have a collection.
No, don't plug anything.
No, no, no.
Just say I'm a comedian.
You said to do a Jeopardy factoid.
No,
I was gonna
do that. I'll ask you for the factoid.
Oh, my God.
This is a disaster.
All right, look, hold on. I shouldn't have given all of you guys the power, and I apologize.
We all look bad now.
No, I looked worse. Hold on. On my left, my old comedy writing buddy, one of my best friends in the world. I was the best man at his wedding, and he was the best man at mine. Jeffrey Golden.
That's very true. Hello, how's it going, everybody?
Yay. Over here, another participant in that wedding, and one of my best friends, hilarious comedy writer Amanda Meadows.
Why?
Oh, here comes me.
And then here comes Joey Clift. Joey Clift, hilarious LA comedian, impish, trickster, puckish, Loki-ish internet. What do we call you? Agitator? No.
Provocateur,
that's the word.
Yeah.
The good kind.
Wait a minute.
I thought I was one of your best friends, too.
Look, you definitely are.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I feel bad. Joey wasn't a part of the wedding, though.
You didn't know him then.
We're going to retcon you into it. You were in the wedding party. Yay!
Congratulations.
I'm already
best
working
friends
on the Photoshops.
Best friends club.
Oh,
did
these
the power go out?
Cans just went dead. Was the recording still up? All right, excellent.
Yay.
Wait a minute. Joey. When I say, like, you're a Loki-ish, puckish trickster, tell me some of the bullshit you've pulled, because I love this stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so I host a podcast called 25 Minutes of Silence, where a guest and I just sit in silence for 25 minutes. It's a whole lot of fun. Previous guests on the show include Ken Bone, the lead singer of the President of the United States of America, a former astronaut. I do not talk to them. I don't ask them any questions. I just sit quietly with them. Let's see, other stuff I've done. I shaved my beard off and sent it to Ted Cruz because I thought he could use it when he was running for president.
Awesome.
And then when he didn't get the nomination, I emailed him asking for it back. No response. Let's see. There's a professional wrestling tag team called the Authors of Pain. They wrestle for the NXT promotion. I got a bunch of my comedy friends together because they're called the Authors of Pain, but they've never actually written a book called Pain. So I got a bunch of my friends together to write it for them. And we published it, posted it on Amazon. It is a best-selling wrestling book and poetry book because it's a poetry book.
Excellent.
Let's see. What else have I done? I hijacked a Garfield Twitter Q&A. Basically, like... the Garfield Twitter account isn't verified, so I changed my Twitter handle to Garfield Official, and they were doing a Twitter Q&A where you could ask them questions with hashtag Ask Garfield. So I just answered all of the questions before the official account could, and everybody had no idea what was going on, guys.
That's awesome.
But didn't they respond? I thought that they said something like, there's some... a sneaky orange cat pretending to be Garfield or something like that.
Okay, so after like 10 minutes after I started doing it, they responded with, step aside, the real fat cat's in the room.
And
I responded, don't listen to that, guys. That's a troll account. Anyway, lasagna Mondays. So I don't know. That's just a taste of the bullshit I do.
Amanda and I were on 25 Minutes of Silence. We enjoyed it immensely because we got some work done.
We got a little bit of reading done.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what I was reading. It was something good.
I think.
Was good.
Yeah, you could just do this podcast without people there.
Yeah, but like I feel like the fun of it is getting people there.
Okay.
The episode where I had the astronaut on. The astronaut who, by the way, for a time held the record for the longest time in space.
Wow.
For like 180 days. Like he held that in the 90s and like he eventually lost it in like the early 2000s or whatever. But he used that time to clean out his rain gutter. I used that time to organize my laundry. So that was good.
Wait a minute. I never understood the point of this podcast until now.
The point of
this is a productivity tool.
I mean,
you listen to it and you get shit done.
I mean, for me it is. For me it's a productivity
tool. For the listeners it sounds like. For an astronaut it was. What did Ken Bone do?
He responded to fan mail.
Okay.
And he was telling me this was not on the podcast, because I try to keep like the rules of the podcast pretty, you know, this is like before we started recording.
Okay.
He gets 7 to 8 fan letters a day, or no, a week.
Wow.
Like that are personally to him. His address is not publicly available. So these are people that are such big, I think, new Ken Bone fans that are tracking his address down so that they can send him fan mail.
New people are discovering Ken Bone all the time.
Yeah, people are just loving his current Twitter habits.
Right.
Yeah. He just was on Twitter talking about how he is going to start a podcast soon.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sure it's called like the Bone Zone or something. But no, I think it's called literally the Ken Bone Show. I don't think he went for the easy pun.
I just love his sense of timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's real great.
Yeah. He's just riding the wave.
Yeah. Do we blame him for Trump? Is he like pro Trump or anti? Where did Ken Bone?
Well,
he was an undecided voter. How did he vote?
It's
a great question.
Yeah.
Someone asked him that.
I'm Googling this while Jeffrey
Thank you.
I mean, I have his email address. I could email him and like...
Can you email him right now, please, and ask him who he voted for?
I mean, I don't
think... Do it, Joey. You wouldn't have brought it up unless you wanted to do it.
Okay,
oh,
so...
Oh, now you're pulling back. I don't want to waste my Ken Bone chips. Oh, I'm so sorry to make you press your contacts.
I've already wasted that chip so much. I get him to record. Just 2 weeks ago, I got him to record a video clip that I played in a random live LA comedy show.
Great. In front of Bone do.
So the premise of the show was like, it was like this character, like he died and it was his funeral. And so my friend who was doing the show wanted like celebrities to eulogize him. So I sent Ken Bone a script to read for like my friend's eulogy. And he did it, no question, sent it to me by the end of that day.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And the response in the comedy theater when Ken Bone gave a eulogy was huge.
Okay, look, we can't talk about Joey forever.
But I mean, if you want.
And actually, we probably will. When I'm saying we can't, what that means is like we're about to. Like it's like one of those transitions where like, I'm about
we
to go
co-sign
back
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Was Ken Bone wearing a sweater in the video?
Okay, so when I recorded the podcast, he was not. During the video, he was wearing a bright red polo shirt. So he wasn't wearing the sweater, but he is aware of what his gimmick is.
Okay.
So like he was definitely wearing the colors, but you know, it was a little bit hotter at that time.
All right.
Yeah.
I like this.
I'm glad
glad that Ken Bone's on it. What's Summer Bone?
Yeah.
Everybody do me a favor. Aim that mic like right at your fucking face. And Jeffrey, pull
it. Oh yeah, here we go.
Tuck this between your legs.
Just
like shove it. Get in.
You got it, because usually people complain that I'm too loud.
Look at that. Yeah, you're like 1985 Billy Joel.
Ooh, the Warriors.
Right on top.
Better watch out, because this track's for you. It's called The Gangs Are Gonna Murder You.
The gangs are gonna murder you.
Oh, no.
Gonna murder
we
you.
Gotta run
the
from
gangs
these gangs.
Are gonna murder you.
Hey. Isn't it interesting that Lynn Thigpen went from being on the radio telling people to murder someone to being on the video and telling them to stop a criminal?
It's true.
Lynn Thigpen is the alpha and the omega. She's the yin and the yang.
It's true. She goes on both sides. She was on the side of darkness, then she was on the side of light.
I know. I wrote a piece a long time ago for Something Awful where I was like, how motherfucking confusing must it have been? You're just like listening to the radio, and there's this lady going like, this one goes out there to the Warriors. They were last seen around Coney. We're gonna get you. Nowhere to run to, baby. But then, here's the other thing. The Warriors soundtrack is very eclectic. So it's like, she's playing like a... old-fashioned down and dirty Delta blues. Then she's playing punk, and she's playing new wave.
It's
trying
a good
to get
show.
In the Warriors' heads.
Like, it sounds like it's actually. I would just legitimately like to listen to her station on like Sirius XM.
Like
just, just like a 24-hour.
I'm in.
Yeah, just like who is she hunting down tonight? Like who is?
I like this.
There's definitely a sketch in like hearing her have a meeting with her station manager. That's like, you know, this is a classical station, right?
Yeah.
You know that we play piano-driven classical music.
Also, we don't try to murder people with our radio station. That is an FCC violation.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to bust you down to like the 2 a.m. shift. I'm sorry.
Last night you sent 8 requests out to the Warriors.
We need you to mix up those requests a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. We had a lot of people wanting to hear a lot. Jeffrey, you're getting 5 tickets for bringing up the Warriors.
Yay!
Yay. Thank you. Our first awarded tickets of the night, Amanda. What's your Jeopardy factoid?
Oh, shit, we're doing Jeopardy factoids.
Let's fucking do it.
A lot of people don't know this. I consider it pretty inspirational, but I'm actually the 5th person in my family to go to college.
Yay! Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Amazing. The 5th, not the 1st.
No. But listen,
but not the 20th.
But not like the 20th. Not from like a long line either. It's like right in between. So there you go.
What person? All right, but... did you like party the hardest out of all 5? Like, here's what I want. Ooh. I want to find a way for you to beat those other 4.
Okay, great. I probably got blackout drunk more often.
Yay!
There you go.
Yay. Number one is drinking.
Bad behavior.
Yeah. Were you number 5 in not breaking the rules? Meaning you were number 1 in breaking them?
Yes.
Nice!
Yay! Thanks for handing that to me.
Here's 5 tickets for a good story, Amanda.
Thank you very much.
By 5, I mean 8.
What?
I am actually giving out tickets now. I bought a big roll of tickets on Amazon.
They have happy faces on them, and they say smile, and I am smiling.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Jeffrey, Jeopardy factoid, fire!
I have a collection of $10 animation cells that are all terrible.
Yeah,
oh, they're really bad.
Yeah, you've
really,
got like Peter Venkman's arm.
I have Peter Venkman in his underwear in an alleyway, and there's a dragon behind him that he doesn't see. Yep. Presumably a ghost dragon.
Presumably.
I also have Dr. Robotnik shirtless in a kitchen.
Yes, you do.
Is another thing I have.
He looks so upset.
He looks very upset. Now, to be fair, sometimes... the animation cells, what they do to sell them is they do reproduction backgrounds, and oftentimes when they sell them with the wrong background.
That's right.
So in that case, it's almost certainly
did not happen in the show.
Did not happen in the show. But Dr. Robotnik was shirtless, and an episode of Sonic the Hedgehog probably does take place in a kitchen of some kind.
Of course it does.
Wow. That we know. One of my favorites is Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks being kidnapped. By like 2 pilgrims, like 2 Thanksgiving pilgrims.
That's right, with buckles
like
on their hats and everything. I've seen it.
Shoved into a bag for some reason. what is happening? What kind of Thanksgiving mayhem are Alvin and the Chipmunks getting into this week?
Have you ever watched these movies or TV shows and paused the exact moment of your animation cell and then looked at the cell and then nodded to yourself? Like, yeah. I own that.
We have done that at Jeffrey's house. We've gone cell hunting.
It's happened.
We've done it. He's got all these cells. He has so many shitty $10 animation cells that he rotates them in and out.
Yeah.
A la the MoMA keeping its exhibits fresh.
That's super funny.
Yeah, we're definitely the Brode for $5 animation.
Yeah,
cells.
Our cooling room is the bedroom.
Yeah.
And things come in and out of retirement.
One of the worst ones we have is it's a Dilbert cell.
Yes.
And it's just like, you know, the friend, like, okay, there's that guy in Dilbert. He's not the boss. He's not Dilbert.
Okay.
He's the guy, like that other guy, the kind of mealy-mouthed guy.
Oh, yeah, the guy who's friend. Like bald, who's got really thin hair.
He's got really thin hair. It's like him by himself in like the office kitchen, and it's like such like a stark frame. It like symbolizes every problem with the Dilbert cartoon show. It's like it's boring to look at. It's boring to think about.
Very extreme white right-wing ideals.
Yes, that's right.
And I used to work with Loud Howard. I used to work with Loud Howard.
Really?
There was a special character for the Dilbert cartoon named Loud Howard.
Yeah, I remember Loud Howard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he was a writer on Mad TV, and the executive producer of Mad TV was like an arch-conservative. So cute.
adorable.
He was like a 70-year-old Canadian. He was the showrunner on Muppets Tonight. He was like
cool.
Amazing. So like this, the guy that played Loud Howard would always be like walking around being like, yeah, George W. Bush rules. Oh yeah, I love George W. Bush. Love his policies and everything. Like, oh, this John Kerry guy sucks. And now on Twitter,
He's all like, Trump sucks. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Bernie. Oh, Trump sucks. I'm
interesting.
Like, no, just go whichever way the wind blows. Oh, that's Howard.
Because I would have guessed if you had said Arch, because I would have guessed, okay, maybe he turns on Trump, but maybe he's still like a conservative. You know, like a lot of them are like
more of like a Paul Ryan guy, or whatever.
Right? Yeah, like, well, fuck Trump, but Mitch McConnell's really doing a bang up job.
I get it. I know what you're saying.
But no, he flipped to burn.
He flipped. He's feeling the burn now.
Feeling it. Finally.
Loud Howard. There's no atheists in foxholes, Loud Howard. You pick a side and you stick with it, Loud Howard. Everybody. I remember like Keegan-Michael Key talking to this conservative guy being like, yeah, George W. Bush rules. it would be terrible if Frankenstein, a.k.a. John Kerry, got into office. Like, oh, boy, it would take 50 hours to deliberate and this and that. And it was so wishy-washy. And I'm just like, Now he's on. Now he's all like, I love you, Obama. I play Obama's anchor translator. And, oh, I'm at the White House. And I'm just like, guys, pick a... Stop it, guys.
You cannot change your opinions over the course of your life once. That is not possible.
That's not what you do. Second up to the boss. All right. What's your Jeopardy factoid? Go.
Okay. Do you want the one that's secretly a plug for a show?
No. I want a good Jeopardy factoid.
Okay. I used to be an amateur contortionist.
What? That's right.
Holy shit.
I remember this.
Yeah. I could like fit in boxes. I could like fit through tennis rackets and stuff like that. I used to like street perform in San Francisco and like Seattle a little bit.
Didn't you do a thing once where you hung from the ceiling for like an hour?
No, you're thinking of like Joe Hartzler, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I have done stuff like that in comedy shows before, like hiding in boxes and like popping out halfway through the show and like,
good deal.
You know, just like stuff like that.
That's what Dean Ambrose did.
Yeah.
Jumping out of
comedy
cakes
community,
and presents.
Dean Ambrose.
All right, let's get to our first game. Our first game is called. I need a good name for it. Wait, call it hot. Hot fakes. No.
I'm going to do the little music that comes. The bump music. Right, yeah.
Okay, it's a game about hot takes. It's called Hot Takes. Thing already. Hot Take. Take.
Hot Rakes?
Hot, no.
Because we're like raking up those hot takes. And like the rake is also rake. The rake is also hot, so yeah, it's heating up the takes.
That's what we're doing. It's time to pull out the hot take rake. I got a rake right here, ready to rake in all your hottest takes. That's why we call this game Hot Take Rake. We always have and we always will. There's a new trailer out for Star Wars, The Last Jedi. I watched it, and it's very pretty. And it's full of attractive people, and then also Mark Hamill is there. I want your hottest takes on The Last Jedi. Doesn't have to be the trailer. Be a hot take about the Abrams verse. Hot take about Rogue One and how it this and that. Give me some hot takes. Hottest takes gets the hottest amount of tickets.
Kylo Ren is an alt-right Nazi.
He is a Nazi, though.
But he's alt-right. He's specifically alt-right.
Okay. No. Because listen, he's working for a Nazi.
Well,
like that guy's like, we will restore.
All right, it's not where I was going with this. That's not where I was going with this.
All right.
Here's the thing. Okay.
You can say he's an alt-right wunderkind, a la Mio Lilianopoulos.
Like. All right, here's what I observed, and then I'll work backwards to the take.
Word.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, you rake it in.
Elements of this take, go backwards from that. There's a part of the trailer that made me really uncomfortable. It's when Kylo Ren has the button, is about to shoot and kill Princess Leia, an actress who you may have remembered, Carrie Fisher, who died. And it's like, why are we seeing this in the trailer?
This is horrifying.
It's making me very uncomfortable. I remember for the movie Small Soldiers, remember? Phil Hartman had died before that movie came out, and there was a scene in which Phil Hartman was being like shot at by the small soldiers, and it was like in the trailer.
It was triggering.
Yeah, it was like in the trailer. It was like, oh God, I don't want to see my heroes. Anyway, so Carrie Fisher has become, in her, recently has become a symbol of the resistance. in terms of real life politics. Ooh. So I thought, well, maybe there's an alt-right agenda here underlying Star Wars trailer to try to make us either...
Some coded visuals.
Some coded visuals, yeah.
Also, it's General Leia now.
Good point.
Maybe they're going to take us back, Jeffrey. Where are your tickets?
I love that Hollywood has... Back.
Oh, shit. Do I get them?
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Yes. Calling out
Squeaky
Jeffrey.
Wheel gets the tickets.
Well done.
I love that there's a tendency now. This is I'm raking into your take, but I also have my own hot take rake.
Okay, great.
After this.
Okay.
So I love that there's a tendency in Hollywood, like after an actor dies, but like they have a movie that's like about to come out, they always try to like reenact the way they died in real life in the movie.
Yeah.
It's like Fast and Furious
like Paul
7.
Walker.
Yeah, Paul right. Walker, where it's just like he died in like a flaming car wreck. And like they definitely ended Fast 7 with him like driving off in the car similar to the one that he died in.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
It's like the same car.
I don't want that.
I'll
don't we want that?
Yeah.
Five tickets for very specific.
I hear that song every time I think about Paul Walker.
Yeah. I mean, it really they probably played it at his funeral,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into your take yet because I want to dissect something else, though, than Jeffrey's take.
Mm.
So sorry. But you do get five tickets for having seen Fast 7.
Oh, because
because a lot of comedians just talk about it, but they never saw it. They're just referencing things.
Right.
Oh, he went off into the sunset. Oh, his digital. Oh, his brother. Oh, The Rock and Vin Diesel were never in the same scene. Oh, The Rock does the thing where he breaks his arm and he gets the arm out of the cast.
The names are inconsistent. The naming convention of the
film. Exactly.
That's what I'm most concerned about.
My cold take on Fast 7, it's a delightful romp. You should watch it. It's a good movie.
A lot of people like it.
That's like a chill take.
No, that was Fast 8.
Exactly. I've never seen the movies. I've never seen them, and I'm just pretending that I did. You get another five tickets.
Yay.
That was a trap.
I like how you're not counting the tickets.
No, not at
there's
all.
Like, well, there's like seven tickets.
No, whatever.
Well, with the ski ball machines, you could always pull a couple extra tickets.
Just a little yank.
But here's what I want to talk about in Jeffrey's take. All right. So Kylo Ren, who, by the way, I guess is a good pilot, too. I guess every character in Star Wars has to be a good pilot. I guess all of them have to be fucking amazing pilots. So he's flying around his custom First Order TIE fighter, and he's got his, I assume, proton torpedoes or concussion missiles locked on the bridge of General Leia's ship. And there's a moment where, is he going to fire? Is he going to kill his bomb? And it's like...
Probably.
Well, he probably is. He definitely killed his dad.
Right.
We've already seen him kill his dad. The cooler one of the two. I don't know. Yeah, he's going to shoot these missiles. Of course he is.
I mean,
Why wouldn't he?
I don't think older Han Solo is cooler than older General Leia.
Really?
Yeah, he's like dusty. He looks like craggly. I don't know. His hair's really gray. He looks like he's just like upset all the time, but not like cool upset. Just like, I'm upset that I'm awake and not napping right now.
But he did the right thing, which is always cool.
Five tickets
that's
to
a
Jeffrey.
Good point. That's a really good platitude, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Five tickets for agreeing with Jeffrey.
Yay!
Okay. No, let's really talk about this though, because I get that you're just putting out a comedic premise
so
and that we were supposed to have moved on. But now the rest of the show is going to be about who's cooler, old Han Solo or old Princess Leia. Let me put this out there.
Okay.
Old Han Solo is wanted by Kanja Club and that other group that's not Kanja Club.
Oh, yeah.
Irish Kanja Club. That's pretty cool. He's still a badass at age 80.
Yeah, but I feel like, okay, so old Princess Leia, like she like picked a career path, stuck to it, and became like really successful in that career path. Old Han Solo.
Real successful. She did great. The New Republic's definitely still around. Wait, what? The whole New Republic got destroyed by Starkiller Base.
Well, okay, so she became...
Five tickets for being the focus of my rage.
It's okay. She made it to the top of like a failing company. I get that. But Old Han Solo, he's still like doing the same job. He's like that guy in your hometown that like still works at a Pizza Hut at like age 70.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The townie defense or offense in this case.
And he still hangs out with the same people, like Chewbacca. Like, he hasn't made new friends. It's just like, I don't know, like...
It's kind of sad. He's like your dad's friend at the Veterans Center.
Yeah.
I'm talking specifically about my dad and my dad's Veterans Center. That one guy who's doing the same shit.
Listen.
And it's like, yeah, he has new gambling debts. I don't know if that makes him cool.
He definitely is repeating himself.
Yeah, it's like he just hasn't grown up. He's still driving the same beat up car everywhere. He didn't buy a new car.
Yeah. Although, I don't know, Hollywood says that that's cool, right? Like, with all these, like man children who are stars of Judd Apatow movies. Like, yeah, but look how cool they are, because they never grew up.
Wait. Yeah, but
he still plays Nintendo.
But the movie always ends with them growing up, though. Like, the movie always ends with them growing up.
Well, this movie didn't. Han Solo's not growing up anymore. Han Solo's growing down a reactor shaft.
Although,
he got stabbed in the guts by his own son.
Jeffrey.
But wasn't that his growing up moment of him finally confronting and not running away from his problems and saying, all right, come on and get me. I caused this mess. Let's talk this out mano a mano. I think that's a new Han Solo. That is character growth right there.
Fat lot of good it did him.
Oh yeah, it was a tragedy. It ends a tragedy, but he did the adult thing.
He did do the adult
thing. Which was to confront his crazy self.
So I think what we're saying
like
is the moment he became
up for
uncool,
a long absence. Right. So it's like the reason this probably happened because he wasn't around.
Right.
So it's like this is all earned.
Oh yeah. Listen, he definitely caused the mess.
Yeah, he definitely is the reason the Force Awakens happens. Being a bad father.
He was, and he was, for sure. But we're not talking about whether or not he was a good guy. We're talking about whether or not he became an adult by the end of the film, or whether he grew up.
Well, no, we're talking actually, about if no, he's cool or
exactly,
if he's
cool. Yeah. Right.
That is the question, and I will say, not raising your son is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I will also say that the moment he became uncool, aka growing up, he died.
Right.
That's true.
Meaning he was super cool. But, all right, look, real talk. It's funny to fucking shit on Han Solo, but was he a fuck up of a dad? He sent his kid to Jedi camp with his brother-in-law. Like, he sent his kid to a camp run by his brother-in-law, and it just turned out there was too much Vader in him. Right? Wrong?
I want to know. Well, I guess we have to watch this new film to see how much Luke Skywalker is at fault for what happened with Kylo Ren, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because 7 doesn't really tie. It's sort of like in the background of 7. Like, some shit went down, you know? Yeah, this
Jedi camp.
Jedi camp. Right. Yeah,
yeah, we've all been to Jedi camp.
Yeah.
It's like American camp. Pie Jedi
yeah.
camp.
Yeah, why has
I would watch the
been,
fuck out of that
yeah,
movie.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
All right.
Jedi camp.
But wait, we didn't answer the question. Who is cool? It wasn't the original question, who's cooler or something between the two of them?
I like the who's cooler thing better than the hot take thing. The who's cooler thing.
So do we have a name for that segment?
Yeah. It's called Asterios Kokonosis Cool School.
Cool School.
Schools in session.
Who gets an A at getting Fs? It's Asterios Kokonosis Cool School. Schools in session. All right.
When the Asterios fraternity goes up against the mean dean, they're going to find out that the dean is bad. And Asterios is good.
The dean in fucking in Animal House, he's literally named Dean Wormwood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, Worm is.
Well, it's Dean like Wormer, I think.
Wormer, right.
Yeah, yeah.
His name's Worm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they,
that. That's not cool.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So smart. At one point, he goes, no fun of any kind. That's a line of dialogue from Animal House.
Great.
No fun of any kind.
It's great.
I really hope that when the screenwriter originally wrote it, Dean Wormer was supposed to be the cool guy. And he's like, no fun of any kind. Just like I like it. The screenwriter of Animal House.
And the executives were like, you know what? I don't think the kids are going to relate to this Dean character.
And he's just like, I don't care. Take my name off of it. Me,
National
poet Robert Frost.
Dean School.
He took the road less travel by and suffered for it in this case.
Yeah, yeah.
Should have done what Hollywood wanted.
Yeah, which
Wait
makes him really cool.
What about a movie called Dean Academy?
Love
that's
it.
What I just said. National Lampoon's Dean School, but I like Dean Academy.
Okay.
So you should give yourself tickets for making the Academy.
But really, you should give those tickets to a van.
I should also get some tickets.
All right, so like, five more tickets. Wait.
So like Dean Academy, is it an academy where like all the students are deans and the dean is like a party guy?
Yes.
And he's just like, I hear too much Rulo bang out there.
Yeah, like he comes from a long line of deans, but he doesn't want to follow in those footsteps, but here he is. In this role, is having to teach other kids how to be deans. He doesn't want it.
By other kids, you mean other 45-year-old
men? Yeah, these kids.
Yeah. Yeah, as a 70-year-old, they're kids to him.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. Ring, ring, ring. School's in session.
Call up all our favorite character actors.
Good. Let's get
Paul Giamatti. Yeah, Wally Shawn.
Right, Paul Giamatti.
Tobolowsky.
Tobolowsky's
all the Baldos.
There. The Baldos.
All the Baldos are there.
It's going to be an Expendables for bald character actors.
Bill Macy.
I mean, once again, this is a good idea. Yeah. I've watched this.
I do really like this. This is the best movie so far in the history of cinema.
Okay, so if you want this movie to get made, you should donate to Asterios' Patreon.
Yes.
Right.
And like leave a note on it saying money earmarked for Dean Academy.
Right.
And we can collect that together and make Dean Academy, right?
Or you could just
make that expensive.
Or yeah, you could just make
There's
that
no
a
crazy
tier.
Costumes.
Yeah,
Dean Academy tier.
$5,000 Dean Academy tier. All we need is some suits, some old men, and they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Because Hollywood is for the it's a young man's game. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The moment you turn 22, you're out.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why all of us fresh 21-year-olds are making this podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
So young.
Now let's talk about why Princess Leia is cool for a second.
Great.
She's got a bunch of X-Wings at her command.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
She went from being a princess to a general. That is an unusual and pretty radical career path.
Yeah,
I feel like that's pretty great.
That's not like traditional like James Dean cool, but there is something to that of like, oh, like that's like an interesting life. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like Forbes cool.
Yeah, it's biopic worthy.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like Elon Musk cool.
Right.
Where it's just like, oh, like, he'd be kind of annoying to talk to, but like, yeah, like, I think he's cool.
Yeah, we all want that Sepulveda tunnel.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to like diss him too much.
Yeah.
I'll listen to him.
Everybody hates Richard Branson until they ride in his hot air balloon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody who talks to him has to, Elon Musk has to hear his theories about that we're all in the Matrix.
That's true. They all believe in Matrix theory.
Matrix theory. Which didn't they I think they disproved it recently,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they did. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
actual scientists were like, no, we're not in the Matrix. It would take so much processing power to make the Matrix that there's like no, there isn't enough power in the universe to like create a matrix large enough to fool millions of people.
Okay, Agent Smith wants you to think.
So
that's exactly what Agent Smith would tell you. It'll never happen. All right, guys, I'm so sorry, but we got to wrap up this episode of Science Friction. Everybody pull out your tickets and let's see who's got the most.
Oh shit.
Oh God, counting. This
count up these tickets.
I think
it's fun
to
listen
to. Obvious. One,
two,
who's the winner?
Seven,
four, five,
two,
three,
seven,
four, five. 12. I have six tickets.
Yeah, that's third place right there.
Yeah, it's definitely third place.
But 13, love 14, you as a person. 15,
16, I love you too, man.
As a contestant, you did great. But as a person, I love you as a brother.
I have 27 tickets.
21.
Oh, shit.
Just like my age.
All right. Jeffrey, so you get our third place prize. Now, what we do on this game is you win blind bags. So you don't know what you win, but you do know that you win something. You get the third place blind bag, which is this Power Rangers blind bag.
Wonderful. So, excellent. Should I open it right here on the mic?
Absolutely. It looks like there are two chase figures, and we don't know what they are. It could be Goldar, Rita Repulsa, could be a putty, could be yellow, and any of the traditional color of Rangers.
I'm definitely going to get a putty.
I know you're going to get a putty.
I'm
going to get a putty.
Let's see. Actually, there's like a little tab or something.
Right here.
So, I let you just muscling it.
Wait, take us back a second. So does Cool School have like, do we have like an end sting for that segment?
Let's do it.
Dismissed.
Ooh, all right. You know what? I've never really watched Power Rangers, but I like the design of Goldar.
Goldar's great.
Oh,
I was hoping you'd get Goldar.
Cool.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's my last name, so that's pretty cool.
Goldar.
Love it. Thank you very much.
Now, where can people follow you, Jeffrey?
People can follow me on Twitter at Jeffrey Golden, GeoffreyGolden. And sometimes you play role-playing games on the show. I've got a new role-playing game out, Wet Hot American Summer Fantasy Camp. It's a role-playing game based on the hit film turned Netflix show. So people can get that on Amazon and at their local comic book shop or other such places.
I played it at New York Comic Con. I played the can of peas. And it was so much fun. Thank you for coming on, Jeffrey. Amanda!
Yay!
Wait, no, you're first place.
Yeah, I'm second.
Wait, okay, second place. Joey Clift? I'm going to hand you this Pac-Man collectible enamel pin blind bag.
Ooh.
Apparently. Now, look, obviously you got the ghosts and you got the Pac-Man and the cherries and all that shit. But according to the clerk here at Meltdown, the chase is a ghost that changes colors when you touch it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. Cool. Okay, that would be cool.
So while you're opening that, plug your shit.
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter at JoeyTainment. And if you like cats, and who doesn't, I host a late night talk show every month at the UCB Theater, where it's called Chats on Cats with Joey Clift. And it's a late night talk show by and for people who love cats. We've done 8 of them, and we have not repeated a joke yet, which is very surprising to me. The idea is a little bit broader than you think it is. Our next one's Saturday, October 28th at 10:30 p.m. at UCB Sunset. Chats on Cats with Joey Clift. It exists.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And thanks for coming on. Let's see what you got.
My enamel pin is. Oh God, this is taking a second.
It's
to
one
open.
Energy pellet.
It's gonna be. Yeah, it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be the cherry. Oh, it's whatever this fruit is.
Oh,
it's a grapefruit.
Cool fruit.
Maybe? I don't know what this is.
I don't know that I've ever seen that in Pac-Man.
It's
what
like
Pac-Man
a.
Pac-Man is that from?
It's like a persimmon.
Is it a?
It feels like it's unripe.
I thought it was a grenade for
a minute.
I
think it's an unripe pineapple. I think that's what it is.
Well, check it out. Continue to explore the innards of that package, and hopefully we can identify that fruit. But I can identify this winner with the most points, Amanda Meadows. Amanda Meadows, you get the best of the blind bags, a Deadpool blind bag. You can get... Okay, you can only get Deadpool.
Right.
But you can get one of 8 different Deadpools.
Great.
You can get Deadpool from X-Force, which is Cyclops' secret murder squad.
Wait, is Headpool in there?
No, just... No, Headpool.
Is Dogpool in there?
No, Dogpool.
It's just 8 different poses.
Great. Well, Merry Poolmas to me.
Yeah, thank you, by the way, Asterios.
You're welcome. Now plug yourself while you're opening
myself.
That.
You can find me on Twitter at Amandonium, AmandoNium, purposefully hard to find. Jeffrey and I publish books... Devastator Press. Go to devastatorpress.com. I have 2 books. One is the most recent one, The Best American Emails, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It's a bunch of really shitty emails that you can read. And remember all the shitty emails you've received in your life. It's cathartic. You can get that on Amazon and all those other places. Okay.
Ooh.
I got...
Deadpool.
Cool Deadpool. He's doing a finger gun.
That's very
he's
funny.
Like,
I like finger gun.
Yeah, that's gun. Pretty much it.
Jovial.
Yeah.
Friendly.
I like that he's in a dome.
Yeah, so he can't escape.
Dome pool.
Yeah. Dome pool.
It's a dome pool.
Yeah, dome pool. Dome cool.
Pew, pew, pew.
You know what? I didn't like to use that. I didn't used to like Deadpool at all. And then I saw it. And I'm like, now I get it.
Didn't we see that together?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
It was a real good movie.
Yeah, it was
anyway,
good.
This was a really good episode of Science Friction. Joey Clift, Amanda Meadows, our winner, Jeffrey Golden, I'm Asterios Kokodos. You can support this show at patreon.com/Asterios. And you can buy my new Santa Cup t-shirt at gumroad.com/Asterios. That's GUMROAD. And I have been your host.
Class dismissed.